नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Communicator 1, Chapter 6, Conversations Between Narada and Vyasadeva, Text Number 11. Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural land, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. I think we can keep reading a little bit. Chitra Datu Vichitra Drin. I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper. Through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. I passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Shapitam Jena Bhutales Svayam Upakaramaya Dadati Sakarantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuni Chenanda Shri Raiti Gradha Shri Vasari Guru Bhakarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, interesting. Purport here, Srila Prabhupada is commenting on the sannyas. Prabhajakacharya. Sometimes the question comes, well, why women can't take sannyas? But here we see the sannyasi has to be prepared to travel all over alone. So practically, this won't be safe for a young girl or for any woman. Therefore, sannyas is not given to women. Women are to be protected by family members. By the father, by the son, by the husband. it's not a very difficult conception to understand. It's the Veda culture, the principle of Veda culture, that women are to be protected. If we don't accept that principle, we create our own principles, or so-called principles, then you know, there's bound to be a disruption. There's bound to be chaos. Because principles are given by God. They're coming down. They're not coming up. Like, but the tendency here in the modern day, we want to make a law in our assembly. You go to any country, the so-called democracy. These are the most advanced countries. They sit and they make laws in their legislature house, in the Senate and Congress. And they think this is wanted. But really, the law is coming from above. It's already established. Just like, interesting how we're reading. It's already established that there's going to be valleys and mountains and forests and flower gardens and farms and mineral farms and so on. Even in the previous creations, these things were going on. It's already established. This is the arrangement of the Lord to give the living entities a chance to come out of the material world. Just like Narada Muni is going to do here. so it's not something different. It's not something that you can create. You can't create anew. In your imagination, you can create anything. That's a fact. You can go, and people get paid for that. Make a television script and make some imaginary situation, and people will say, oh, that's far out. Yeah, maybe. No, but that's okay. But it's only fantasy. The reality is something different. But that tendency to imagine, to speculate, to manufacture in our fertile brain laws of God is very strong. Therefore, the injunction is given. No speculation. No gambling. Same idea. We should take what's given. not create something artificial. out of the factory of our brain. Oh, this is one point. Another point? Prabhupada seems to be indicating that the change of name is not necessary for sannyasis in the Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi. Why are so many sannyasis having their names changed when they get initiated? That's my question. Bhakta Vaibhava, Bhakta, so there's so many, hundreds of, not hundreds, but many, many ISKCON sannyasis did have their name changed when they took a sannyas. They don't have a brahmachari name anymore. But here Prabhupada is clearly saying that it's not necessary. Or what does he say?
Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi, and in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasis should not change their former names, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya.
So why is it being done? What kind of society do you have, Krishna? But spiritual master is giving a clear instruction here, and you're not following. You know who's mostly was doing? It was Hari Kesh. He's changing everybody's name. Bhakti Vikash, all these bhakti. I don't know why. Prabhupada didn't change my name. I was Trivikram Brahmachari, then I became Trivikram Swami. Prabhupada didn't. Of course he did change a few. Like Chaita Guru became Bhakti Chaitanya. I guess that's where they took it, because Prabhupada did change some. Anyway, another point we can discuss is the how Prabhupada is mentioning in this the followers of Lord Chaitanya, we don't have to imitate the Prabhupada Chakacharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya. But we may sit down in some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the scriptures left by the great acharyas like the Goswami. So this is the ideal. Someone can go take sannyas and then go and to Vrindavan, Mayapur, hear and chant, and enlighten people. And if many people come to these holy places, they should their duty is to seek out the sadhus there. So this is all, this is required. Someone should, just like we saw in Vrindavan, that one devotee was there. He wanted to study so much. Prabhupada said, "Yes, you can study, but you have to give class every day." So he didn't want just to go and read and study for your own benefit, like a jnani. This a jnani is interested in acquiring knowledge. He thinks that just like the businessman is collecting money, and then he makes a big balance, and then he becomes powerful, right? He has so much money, he can influence people, he can become influential in the world in some way. So he wants that. So he wants to collect more and more. So the jnani also is thinking like that. I'll be very learned, like that Kashmir Digvijay Pandit. He had so much learning by the mercy of Saraswati that he became very proud. And he traveled with a whole retinue and elephants and caravans, or wherever he'd go, he would defeat the opponent. They would have to give him dakshin or something, because he was collecting. He was so knowledgeable. So, but the devotee doesn't think like that, that I want to collect knowledge and then show it off. rather, whatever knowledge he gets, he wants to give immediately. He's not interested to become learned for learning's sake. Therefore, it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam jamanamate, gyanam abhapapadyate, vasudeva sarvamiti, samahavasudhavana. That after many, many births, such a jnani may come by good fortune to realize that vasudeva sarvamiti, that nothing outside of Krishna, that God is everything. And then they should worship Him. And they, of course, you can worship God with your intelligence, with your knowledge, everything. But that has to be clear. Otherwise, it becomes jnana misa bhakti. It's mixed with jnana. It's not pure devotion. Pure devotion begins when you recognize that I'm Krishna's. Whatever I have, I should use in Krishna's service. That's the perfection. Not that I'm a jnani and I'm saving everything for my aggrandizement, for my, you can say, fame. The devotee's not interested in fame. He's only interested in saving the Lord. So that requires faith. I mean, serving the Lord. That requires faith. If he has faith, that if I just serve the Lord to the best of my ability, then my own position will be automatically adjusted. I don't have to be worried about my own position. because such a person is very dear to the Lord, so the Lord will adjust for them. So this is our test. We all have to come to that point of surrender, accepting, yes, Krishna will protect me, Krishna will provide for me, Krishna, my only business is to serve Him. So either today or tomorrow, we want to go back to Godhead, we have to come to this mentality. It's up to us. It's not a very difficult mentality to develop, but it means that we have to, for the most part, give up sex life, because the nature of sex life is about me. It's my pushings that are leading me. Instead of being led by Krishna, I'm being led by the pushing of the genital. And then when that pushing becomes so strong, then naturally I need to find a woman who will cooperate with me to satisfy this pushing. And so there is a mutual cooperation arranged between man and woman. Woman also has pushing, even stronger pushing than the man. The man may not see that. The nature of the woman is, it's not so easy to see, but actually they're more lusty than a man. Their pushing is 9 times stronger. But they have to deal, you know, they can't allow themselves to be just open about that. Otherwise, sometimes they are. Just like in the Krishna book we read how Kumja, when Krishna straightened her back, then she was very lusty for Krishna. She was pulling on his garment and saying, please come to my apartment. But generally in society, a lusty woman who's openly, overtly lusty is considered a big disturbance. And so women are trained, even in the Malecha society, women are trained to be a little, how can you say, subtle about it. They want to be... they want to have their pushings satisfied, they want sex life, but they have to be concerned. Well, the sex life child will come, therefore I have to find a husband, therefore so many things. So their mothers, especially, they train them, yes. You have to be a roundabout way. You can't go directly. You have to attract to the vagina. So they wear the mini skirt and so on, to bring a man's attention to that part of her body so that he'll be attracted, and then naturally, because women are intelligent, more intelligent than men about these things, she'll arrange for him to provide for her and make a house for her and so on and so on. And so the species goes on. But the spiritual life has nothing to do with this. Real spiritual life has nothing to do with this arrangement between the sexes. This is all self-centered. It's all based on the pushing, which is it's not the real the nature of the soul to be pushed like that. This is the bodily pushing, the hormones and at a certain age, a young boy's not pushed like that. He doesn't think about girls. As a matter of fact, if you remember, when you were 8 or 9 or 10, you didn't like girls. Nobody played with girls because they were stupid. They didn't play properly. They didn't know how to play like boys did. But then only when the hormones come, then you're attracted. Oh, there's the girls. Look at how pretty they look. Otherwise, you didn't think they're so pretty. They're stupid. But so my point is, it's a bodily thing, and it's based on false ego. And therefore, the sex life becomes prominent in everybody's life. But spiritual life is beginning how to control the sex life. Therefore, brahmacharya is trained up to the young boy. When he's naturally not attracted to the woman, then he's trained up. How is he trained? He's trained to get a higher taste. He's trained to be satisfied by chanting Hare Krishna and by studying the Shastra. And so that when the puberty comes, when the pushings are there, he may go into grihastha life, but at least he's experienced something better. Because grihastha life, there's always some trouble. That's a fact. It's not a simple life. because you have two people who are tied together, even in the Vedic ceremony, right? They're tied, husband and wife. the sari and the dhoti are tied together. So you're tied together with somebody, but on what basis? On the basis of sense gratification. And therefore, there's always going to be some upheaval. Because the woman is thinking, she expects that the man is going to satisfy me in this way, and this way, and this way. And the man is thinking the woman is going to satisfy me in this way, and this way, and this way. And they're both self-centered. And so when you throw these two self-centered people together, there has to be some upheaval, without a doubt. It's never what they think it's going to be. Marriage is never what they think it's going to be. Never, ever. It's always different than what they think before they go into marriage. So, it's not that we say, okay, therefore, there should be no marriage. But the married people, they should be trained up. Especially the man should be trained up to understand that this is a temporary ashram that he's going through because he can't control his lust. If he was stronger, then he could avoid it altogether. But the pushing of the genital is too strong, therefore, all right, I have to make a concession. Marriage is a concession for those who can't control their sex life. If the man has that humble attitude, then he can go through and tolerate to satisfy his genital. And after some time, when he's 50 or 60 years old, he'll no longer have that same pushing. And so he can again come out. And by then, his children are able to take care of his wife. And so this is a Veda culture. How to live, how to make the best of a bad bargain. It is a bad bargain. The bad bargain is I'm being pushed. Who wants to be pushed? Do you like to be pushed? If you're standing there and somebody comes pushes you, who likes to be pushed? But the genital is pushing. Everybody's being pushed. Men and women both. So it's a bad bargain. So we try to adjust that bad bargain by marriage. Every society has some idea of marriage. Because the pushing is too strong. Therefore, it's said in the Kali Yuga, sannyasa is not recommended because the pushing is too strong. Okay, any questions? So, Bhagavatam ki.